Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to LC D&D, where the boys of the Lost Context podcast take a little bit of time to tell some stories, share some laughs, murder some motherfucking monsters. I'm Tim. I'm going to be your Dungeon Master and host for the evening. We have Brian and Chris Riley both involved. Later, Wesley will get involved, but for right now, we're going to drop you in to a world where magic has been heavily regulated, magical creatures regulated even more so, and our boys work for the government, trying to keep these things under wraps. Will they be able to stop these nefarious creatures and keep them from encroaching upon the law of Farport? Who knows? But we will find out today on Lost Context Podcast, D&D. Mostly this is just going to be an actual play D&D podcast that will be edited minorly just to bring out or pull out some of the dull spots, but for the most part, you're going to hear our dice rolls, our banter, probably Chris Riley munching on some food, and a whole lot of monster killing in D&D. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Crowded streets of Farport bustle with activity. A myriad of races gasp and point at the three pale figures pushing citizens out of their path. Our two heroes push through the citizens behind them close by. The camera zooms in. A priest and some sort of an inventor. Would you like to introduce your characters, guys?
Yeah. My name is Falk. Falk Smolder. I'm a special agent for the FIA, the Fae Touch Investigative Agency, and we've been sent here to Farport to check out some extraordinary occurrences.
Pause.
Yeah, pause.
How ridiculous can we take this? What are we going for humor-wise?
Do whatever you want, my man.
Because I just came across
this is our role-playing.
I just came across this picture of the, like, a monk-style priest, and he's got, like, hair all around his head except for the top, so it looks like a bird's nest with a giant egg in it. Oh my
god. This is, like, that's funny. But this is, like, Old West.
Well, that's why I always wear my hat. I never want to take my hat off. There's a big old bald spot. I'm sorry.
So, unpause. And,
car! Game on! Leave that all in, Brian, please.
Okay.
I'm a human from out east, where the FIA is based. And, as an inventor, I've pretty much made my own weaponry that is able to cast arcane nature spells, but using technology of the day. I have a repeating revolver for cantrips and smaller spells. I also have a sighted rifle that I use for the bigger spells.
So just to let you know, you are actually in the east right now. Farport is where the FIA is headquartered.
Okay, so I am
You're
at
not in
Farport,
the West yet.
Right. Okay. So yeah, forget everything I just said. I am at Farport right now. And I still have those weapons that I talked about. And something interesting about me is that I'm one of the few people that actually still believe in dragons. I've garnered the the nickname in the Academy of Sparky. Because I've, through many readings, have rediscovered a lot of the draconic magics that used to be around the land. Even though most people just think they're myth.
And Brian?
Let's see. I'm a priest, or a cleric. We're calling it a priest. And then I have a lot of abilities that I haven't read yet. I have a... I'm gonna have a
classic. What does he look like? What does he look like and stuff? Describe him to us.
I think I'm gonna go with he's pretty typical. He wears all black. He looks a little bit like an undertaker. He's kind of got that flat top undertaker's hat on with a large brim around it, and then he's got a white shirt with a big old almost like what do you call those ties that are really big? Anyway. His coat drapes down to his thighs, and he's got a Colt 45, and he's got a mace that he carries with him. Then he always keeps his hat on, because if he takes his hat off, he's got hair all around his head, except for the very top. It's bald, just like an old monk, and it embarrasses him. And he's otherwise pretty chiseled and good-looking and fairly confident with the ladies, except for that one vulnerability. That's his Achilles heel.
All right. Now, our heroes had just gotten done raiding the apartment of the three pale figures in the Pale Touch confinement. You had heard a rumor that they were thinking of making a run out of the Imperium. Your sources were right. The Baudelaires fled at contact. Most Fae run when they see the Fae Touched Investigation Agency. This was different. Bags were already packed, and the magical residue was high. Something powerful was stored here. The figures dart toward the crowded lever rail station, the long metal tubes looming above on metal tracks. The tracks loop throughout the city. The Baudelaires knock over a magazine stand and its proprietor as they slam through the double doors to the station. Vampires are clever and have enhanced abilities. How would you like to proceed? So now the station that you guys are looking at is a rather large stone building. The double doors have been slammed behind them. And you know, one of the main things that you know that vampires do is they take people as thralls. So they can basically mind control them. And you guys, in your experience of dealing with different creatures and abominations, would know this. And know that they won't be attacking you outright. They will be attacking you in a very
with
different
a
manner.
Mind?
Yes.
Okay, and then the thrall, is it, do they need line of sight to be able to do it?
Yes, you know that normally the way that it works is they hypnotize people with their eyes.
Where are we?
You guys are in front of basically like a giant elevated train station. And so right now you guys are outside of the stone building, outside of the front double doors to go inside, and inside you would assume that there are stairs that lead up to the platform to get onto the train.
Okay, and we're fighting how many things?
You're following three vampires.
Okay, and they can hypnotize us?
As far as you know, yes.
And then what's the distance between us and them?
They just slammed the door shut. You're about 30 feet away from the door. And you know that
the door to the train station, or are they
correct?
On a train?
Yes, okay. No, they're just entering into the train station right now. But you know that vampires move preternaturally fast.
Oh, okay, so is the door open inward or outward, or towards us or away from us?
It opens away from you.
Okay, so perfect. I say we shoulder into these doors and just bust right in.
Okay.
All right. So you guys bust into the doors and you open up into a foyer that is massive. The ceiling is 30 feet tall, and there are people that are, again, pointing up towards the stairwell, and you can see that the three figures are already knocking over different humans. A woman screams out as she starts to fall down the stairwell, and the three vampires are making their way up to the platform. And you would guess that there is somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 feet in between you and the stairs, the bottom of the stairs. And it's basically a clear path. Everybody has already kind of moved out of the way. There are lots of different shops off to your right and left, selling various, you know, accoutrements, like magazines. Like there's a haberdasher in there and different things of the like, but for right now, it would appear as though the vampires are making their way towards a train.
All right, and they're running up a stairwell. Are they grouped close together to each
they
other?
Are, or
are they,
yes,
kind of spread out? Okay. And what's the distance that they're...
They're all within 5 feet of each other. They're... Because
okay,
the stairs...
5 feet.
The stairs are only about 20 feet wide, so...
How do you kill vampires in this world?
By bringing their HP down to zero.
Yeah, by shooting them. You're a priest. You're holy.
Yeah. They're undead, okay. So if you have, you know, spells that are strong against the undead, then you'd be able to, you know, get an advantage. Or, you know, not, like, a statistical advantage, but you'd be able to... you know, get extra damage on them. Would I know their movement speed? They move fast, you said they did.
Yeah, so you would imagine twice as fast as you.
Well, for one, I hold out my revolver and I yell, "Freeze! FIA!"
They continue to scramble up the stairs. One of them, the male, the other two are females, looks kind of back at you and then immediately turns and faces towards the platform and continues his escape.
One male, two females.
How far away are they?
The staircase is about 80 feet from you, and they're about halfway up the staircase, so about 120 feet.
Do these guys count as humanoids, right?
Correct.
Okay. They're supernaturally fast, right? I can't catch up to them.
You don't think so, no.
Could I? Well, I don't know how much you can tell me. I'm going to try to run at least another, I'm going to try to get in range of them by another 20 feet.
Okay, and what do you want to try and do?
If I can make it, I want to try hold person.
Yeah, how do we resolve that? Do I roll or do you?
Yeah, the target.
Well, I rolled a 2, so which one were you going for? The one of the girls or the boy?
Well, I would assume it's whichever is closest to me. I'll say one of the girls.
Okay. So you hold up your hand and yell, "Halt!" And the girl turns her head and looks at you and immediately stops moving. And her family members start trying to tug on her, but her body will not move under any circumstance. And so they leave her behind and continue their escape towards the subway.
What are we, like, actually pursuing them for? Have, like, we as the agents witnessed them do anything that is,
You had, you know, you had gotten a report that, that they were looking to flee the Imperium, which, once they've decided to become registered and live within the Imperium, you are not allowed to leave. And so you were going to question them about it, and they immediately bolted.
And so is that like a sort of, you know, offense that's punishable by deadly force? Or like, you know, would we...
You have absolute impunity to do whatever you want. You guys are 007, licensed to kill under any circumstance. You get the job done how you see fit.
I kill Chris.
So is the train already in the station with the doors open, or will they have to wait for a train to...
You can't see from here.
I'm going to try to run up far enough to see if I can see if the train's already in the platform.
So, Chris, you've been to this train station before. You know that you have to go out another set of doors in order to get onto the platform where the train would arrive.
Oh,
and
okay.
So you can try and make that perception check, but it's going to be real hard.
Yeah, I'm gonna go for it. No use in not trying.
Right.
So, you gotta be kidding me. I just rolled a natural 20.
No shit!
Yeah. First roll on this dice roller, and yeah, natural 20. And, I can even... I'm gonna take a picture of it right now.
So you can actually feel just the subtle shake in the ground the sound of one of the elevated trains, the lever rail trains, getting closer. You know that it's probably still a little farther out, maybe a minute and a half away, but you guys have a little bit of time.
So they're just standing there waiting for it?
No, they're like running up towards it. He's just trying to see if how close the train is, if the train was waiting there with its doors open. Basically, he's just trying to get an assessment of the situation. And right now, as it sits, the train is not going to be there for probably another minute or so.
And so, does Brian have movement while he's concentrating on holding the one?
Yeah, he absolutely does. As you guys know, though, there is still more running across the top to get to the platform. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's...
Yeah, like, I'm just thinking, like, maybe I should go after the two that are running and he actually apprehend the one that's held. So at least we'd be able to get information from the one.
Wait, do we have to keep track of our movement counts and stuff?
No, I'm doing that for you. You're good. We're not an initiative yet.
And what was your name again, Brian?
Thomas DeWeese.
Oh, Thomas. Tom, hold her. I'll go after the other two. And then, like, I use up all my movement. Can Sorcerer's Dash? Can I do double run since I didn't
Yeah, you can do
action?
A double move. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that to try to catch up to them.
Okay. So you do your double move, and you see the male and the female. The male looks back at you, and he kind of sneers, and he grabs onto the female by the hand, and they both jump up through the air, and you would estimate that they probably get 20 feet into the air before crashing through the window that's above the door to the platform. And you're having trouble seeing exactly where they went from here. Like, you know that there's some sort of a roof, like a covering, like to, you know, an awning to deal with the rain when you're waiting for the train.
Yeah.
You would assume that they might have gotten up there.
All right, and, like, I'm familiar with this building enough that I would know if that was either just, like, a large sort of lobby room that just has a window above the door, or if it was an actual second floor up there.
Yeah, it's not an actual second floor. It's literally
So they just, like, bypass the door, so I can just run up to the door and...
Right, correct.
I try to run through the door and still pursue them.
Okay, are you barreling through the door? Like, are you planning on being fairly quick about this?
Does the door have any sort of way to look through there?
Yeah, there's the face window so you can see if anybody's coming.
All right, I'm going to, like, you know, stop, like, just right at the door and look in. And then, like, you know, based on that is when I would choose to whether go in or not.
I just want to
look and see if they're still running to where I can still see that they're not, like, facing at me about to attack me if I...
Make me a perception roll, and I'm going to go to Brian. Brian, what are you doing?
I don't know how much information we already have about these people, so I'm not sure what to ask her that I don't already know.
I'm maybe not necessarily worried about asking her anything right now, and maybe worry about tying her up or something like that.
Is my spell going to wear off?
So I only got a 13 for perception.
You can manipulate her and, you know, get her into, like,
I don't really know how much there is to do other than to... incapacitator.
Okay. So, Falk, you're going to move through the doors then?
Well, I rolled a 13, so am I able to see them, like, whether they're still running or whether they're...
You can actually hear the sound of footsteps on what sounds like a metal roof, but it's kind of a little bit further away. So you would imagine that they're still probably up on that awning above you, but outside.
Oh, so, okay, they burst outside of the building, not inside of the building.
Correct, yeah, you guys were already inside of the building, I apologize.
So, if they're still on the awning, is this like a long awning, like it was like some sort of causeway or something like that?
Yeah, the platform is about 50 feet long. It's about 50 feet wide and about 150 feet long. So it's a fairly large platform, and because the trains are fairly long.
Okay, so yeah, then I definitely burst that door open and keep running towards the sound of the footsteps above.
Okay, you can actually see that the train is starting to, like, you can see it on the horizon starting to get closer, and it's barreling towards the station. And you can no longer hear the footsteps up above you, and so it's kind of up to you. What would you like to do?
If they stopped, then I'm stopping and, like, you know, kind of readying my weapon, you know, and getting ready to defend myself if they are where they stopped, and I guess, like, where I would be close to stopping, is that, like, within a near distance to where the train would, you know, stop?
Yes. So you would imagine
just jump onto the train.
That's what you imagine the plan is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, why don't you go ahead and roll me a d20 for subduing?
I rolled a 7.
Okay, and then roll me a perception check as well. And you as well, please, Chris.
Oh, okay. So, 17 for mine.
Critical fail.
Oh, God.
I can't see shit.
Oh, Jesus. You got a piece of dust in your eye or something?
Okay. So what did you get for your perception check, Chris?
My perception check was a 17.
Okay, so you actually think that you can hear them in separate places.
Oh, like they split up?
Like, yeah, maybe they split up. And you kind of hear the sound of something on the other side of the door. And Brian, you notice nothing.
I'm enamored.
Right. What would you like to do about it, Falk?
As a faction agent, like, as my background, it says I can, elicit sort of help or whatever from other agents or whatever. So I guess I use my our sort of, you know, messenger ability or whatever to just call into HQ and make them aware of the situation and ask if there's anything that they can do from their end to, like, make sure the train doesn't leave when it stops.
4-9-9-er, this is Farport HQ. We read you loud and clear, Falk. What can we do for you, copy?
I need you to stop that train once it stops. We're chasing three individuals. One of them is likely apprehended at this point. There's a male and a female vampire that I believe are trying to escape the Imperium. Do whatever you gotta do to stop that train from disembarking.
Is that now for the listeners out there, they're communicating in English, is translated by for you, but they're actually saying deet, 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 deet. These are cowboy tastes.
Yeah.
Why are
we're just gonna suspend our disbelief from that and, like,
I copy you, Falk. We talking about the 117 from Pale Touch?
That's the one. I don't know why I did it that accent. You got me just copying yours. 2-9-er, good buddy. Yeah, that's the one.
We're gonna get some officers on it as quick as possible. Over.
Thank you. I feel like Blade Runner right now.
Fucking, all right. So, give me one more perception check, Tom.
Okay.
All right. So, you're kind of, like, holding this female vampire in like, an arm lock to keep her under control and stuff like that. And while you're doing that, you just notice, as she gets up on you, a young woman of about 20 with long black hair, a human woman, fairly pretty. She looks at you and she goes, "Is there anything I can help you with?"
Wait, this rando woman just came up to me?
Correct.
So I'll say, This vampirous lady is super strength, right?
She's pretty strong, but you're pretty sure that you got a hold of her right now.
Could she break bondages?
That's kind of what you're worried about. That's why you haven't put any on her.
How long is my spell going to last on her?
You think that you probably got about 30 more seconds.
Shit. Can I ask this lady if there's anything special about her? Like, if she's just a normie lady, what am I gonna do with her? But if she has powers, maybe she could be useful.
Why don't you formulate that in being a character saying that?
Hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sack?
Would you run out and check on my partner? He just, he went through that door over there.
She looks at you and she, holds her hand up to her mouth and she kind of goes, and then she reaches back and tries to claw you in the face.
Every time.
Does a 12 hit your armor class?
My armor class is 18.
18, okay. So that is a miss. So she, like, basically you ask her that, and she immediately, her eyes go feral, and she claws out at you, and you quickly move your face back and avoid having some sort of damage done to you, but we're going to have to go ahead and roll initiative.
It means we're going to fight?
Correct. So if you could roll me a d20 plus your dexterity modifier, you as well, Chris.
All right. So I got a 20 for initiative. Not a natural 20, but just 20 after bonus.
Gotcha.
15. After bonus.
Valk, you're first.
All right. Are any of the enemies within my view, I guess?
You can see the lady that is at the top of the stairs clawing at Tom.
Oh, okay.
And she's like 75 feet away from you right now.
Yeah, and I saw her take the swipe at him, right?
Correct, yeah, you saw that. The doors are open. You burst through them and they stayed propped open after you did that.
Oh, okay. I'm going to, for one, use True Strike on her to granted a brief insight into the target's defenses. And on my next turn, I get an advantage on my first attack roll against the target.
Okay.
And cast True Strike. And then I also use my Quickened ability to be able to spend a...
So let me ask you something. Are you okay with the fact that you know that this woman is probably a vampire thrall?
I didn't even think about that. So I would have figured that out from the True Strike, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, yeah, like, I have the gun pointed right at her, and then, like, you know, as soon as I realize that through the True Strike, I, like,
put the hammer
back up and put the hammer back, and I'm like, shit, and so I start to dash back that direction towards him. All right.
Yeah, that would put you within, 50 feet, or 15 feet, I'm sorry. Of Tom and the holded vampire and that woman.
All right.
Why did her thrallness make him put his hammer back?
Because that means that she was just a woman who locked eyes with the vampire, and like the vampire, like, you know, made her do those things. It was just a pretty lady.
So the hypnotized people become thralls.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And also, we don't know that I guess we do now know that this female is a vampire herself, where, like, before, we wouldn't have been quite sure if she was a thrall or one of the vampires, so.
So.
That train's gotta be close, right?
Oh, yeah. It's practically pulling up to a stop. Falk, you notice behind you that the other female vampire is running on all fours towards you, and she's not going to quite have enough movement to make up the distance because she was coming from off of that awning, but she's definitely going to be on top of you next turn. So just to kind of give you forewarning of what's going on with that, snarling and teeth bared, huge fangs, definitely a vampire.
Oh, okay.
Tom, what would you like to do? You've got a held vampire in your hands, you've got a thrall ready to claw out your face, and you've got another vampire barreling down on your partner, and a third one that's MIA.
Thralls don't have powers, right? They're just under control.
Yeah, that's why she just slapped at you with her, you know what I mean, like just her natural nails. It wouldn't have done a whole lot of damage had she hit.
And my spell's about to wear off. How do you, I mean,
We just beat these people up, right? There's no magic special stuff to take them down.
Nope, you just can beat the shit out of them until they die.
I need to further incapacitate this girl, so I'm going to shoot her in the leg.
Holy shit! Okay, why don't she roll an attack, and then you have advantage because she is incapacitated. So that means you roll two d20s and you take the higher one.
18. 18.
All right, and then, so you're going to add on your gun stat. So you know where I sent you that picture of the, it should have a plus to it as well. I mean, that's going to be a hit, but just so you get used to doing that.
Oh, the six gun plus six?
Okay, so it's going to be 18 plus six is 24, and that's a hit. So then you would roll your 3d6 plus your dexterity modifier and damage.
Oh, so the first one is to see if I succeed. The second one's how much damage I do.
Correct. So it's going to be 3d6 plus 3 is your damage.
Comes to 11.
All right. So you pull out your pistol and you shoot her once in the leg, and it explodes in a shower of blood. But you know that vampires heal faster than normal people, so she's not going to die from this wound. That brings us to the missing in action vampire, who does some things that you guys can't see.
Do I have to worry about my ammo?
No, don't worry about that.
Okay.
That brings us to the held vampire, who is held still. And then the lady is going to take another swipe at you with her hands.
I don't care. That's just another Tuesday night for me. Oh, shoot, I'm a priest. Never mind.
So she actually gets a natural 19, which minus 1 is an 18. So that will hit your armor class for a hefty 1 damage.
What's my current health right now? Where do I see
you?
That?
You have 52 for maximum.
So I'm down to 51?
Correct. Like, she doesn't even leave a mark on you, you know what I mean? Like, you just... She kind of reaches out and hits you, and it smarts for a second, and that's it. Like, Valk, what would you like to do?
Well, since that one's running at me on all fours and is within distance enough to get me on its next move, I am going to... Yeah, I'm going to cast Firebolt, which is a cantrip.
Okay.
Out of my revolver.
You said cantrips are unlimited, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So that's a 19 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that's a hit.
Oh, okay. And then 7 times 2, 14 damage from the firebolt.
All right, you raise up your pistol, and it glows with a deep red hue for a second before launching out a bolt of fiery energy that crashes around her form and explodes, and you can see scorch marks on her face, and some of them start to dissipate quite quickly, but you can tell that you definitely did quite a bit of damage with that solid hit. However, she bursts free from the fire. Do you want to move or anything?
Yeah, I'm going to try to... I'm still going to try to, you know, close the distance between me and Tom.
That's only 15 feet, so you can easily get there.
Okay, cool.
All right, so you back up facing this feral vampire woman as she's charging towards you. She kind of, quick does a shudder to put out a bit of the flames on her clothing and immediately barrels into you. And does a 21 hit your armor class?
It absolutely does, yeah.
Excellent. And how about a 13?
Nope.
Okay. So she kind of gets on top. She lands on top of you, and she manages to get one quick claw swipe in for 7 points of damage. But you manage to quickly kick her off of you and get back to your feet and face her again.
All right.
Tom, what would you like to do?
I'm going to try to fatally shoot her if I can.
Which one?
The one attacking Chris.
All right, why don't you go ahead and roll me a d20?
What was the one where I rolled 2 for?
You don't roll it this time because you don't have advantage because it's on the one that's attacking Chris.
Gotcha, okay.
As a matter of fact, I should give you disadvantage because you're so close and shooting into melee, but I won't.
1d20 plus 6?
Correct.
15.
I just realized that I didn't add my spell attack bonus for that cantrip, but oh well.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Past. You hit anyway. Yeah. So, Tom, you move your pistol from where it was pointing before, and you raise it up to try and steady a shot, and right as you go to pull the trigger, the crazy lady kind of jerks your arm a bit to the side, and it flies harmlessly wide of its target.
Okay.
That will bring us to MIA guy is still MIA. We only have a couple more rounds on the health lady. All right. The lady in Brian's face. Natural one. So she actually trips onto the ground and isn't going to be a problem for a minute. So, Falk, let me just re-describe the situation. So you've got the thrall lady. She's on the ground right now. You've got the held lady. She's bleeding from a leg wound. And then you have the vampire that is baring her teeth at you, ready to come in for another attack.
All right. So, don't have much in the way of utility, so it's pretty much just going to be first things first, the one that is baring her teeth at me. Like, did I get any sort of sense as like to how bad I hurt her with my first hit with the 14 damage?
I mean you felt like it was like you dealt some pretty good damage. You felt like she felt you and is pretty pissed off from it, but definitely isn't showing signs of wear or
so
tear or dying.
I wouldn't get the idea that she was technically bloodied or anything like that.
No, not even close.
Okay, so, well then I am going to just shoot another firebolt at her.
Okay. So
let me get my rolls up here. That is most likely going to miss, 6 to hit.
Yeah, that's definitely a miss.
All right, so but I will spend, two of my MP to, quicken my, bonus action into a full action and, take another shot.
Okay.
And that's, 13 plus 3, 16 to hit.
That'll be a hit.
Okay.
That meets.
Yeah. 13 times 2, so 26 damage.
Oh, so your first shot, you know, it charges with that deep red energy and you launch out that little bit of fire and it kind of explodes harmlessly to the side of her and she kind of sneers at you for a second and then you level it again for a second shot, putting both hands onto the pistol to really get your aim true, and you launch a massive and devastating gout of fire that explodes around her face and hair and singes much of her hair off. And she's bleeding profusely. Like, you can definitely tell that did a lot of damage. And she is looking at you with fearful eyes. Would you like to move?
Just talking to Tom won't, like, you know, that's not, like, any sort of action.
No,
is
go
it?
Ahead. Absolutely.
Okay,
go ahead.
Like, I think you need to let go of her, and we need to get some distance from these guys if we can, so we can use our big stuff.
All right, let's move.
All right, and so, like, I expend the rest of my movement to get, like, as close to, like, a wall as we can and, like, kind of away from
okay,
where
so
all
let's
of our
say,
enemies are in front of us, basically.
Let's say that the platform is north. The platform where the train is going to be arriving is north, and the door that you guys came into the station at is south. Where would you like to move in relation to where you're at right now?
Yeah, so, like, further south to where, like, any enemy that we have is in front of us and nothing.
So just
is, like,
so you know, you'd have to
us.
Go down the stairs for that. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'll go down the stairs for that.
Okay, cool.
It's an 80-foot drop, right?
Yes, it's a very long drop. Although, I think Chris has a fun thing to deal with that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Did you ever take that? That's badass. Awesome. I'm
yeah,
glad
yeah,
that you
I
did.
Definitely
not that you're
going to
use
yeah.
it right now, but, you know. So that brings us to the lady that you just profusely damaged. And she actually, when she sees that you run, you see, like, a look of relief in her eyes as she starts bolting towards the doorway on the platform.
Okay, so she's running the opposite way, north.
Correct, yeah. She doesn't want anything to do with you at all.
Okay,
Like, you cornered the dog. The dog came out and bit and found out that you have pepper spray, and now the dog doesn't want anything to do with you again.
All right.
Basically. Because these are intelligent creatures that do not want to die. You know what I mean? Like, they do not under any circumstance. And so, you know, if you guys start to deal some decent damage to them, they're going to fucking run. Like, they do not want to die. So, yeah, that brings us to you, Tom. What would you like to do?
She's still here, right? She hasn't gone through the door?
No, she's right at the doorway.
How far?
That is about 60 feet away from you. So a double move. And you can see that the train is about to stop and open up its doors.
I'm going to take another shot at her on the way.
All right, don't miss, because there's people in that train.
Oh, it's backing, okay.
That's the only thing about guns, man, is it's not the same as like a bow and arrow and shit.
Yeah, now Brian realizes why I haven't been like just shooting at everything.
Right? Just willy-nilly ghostbustering around.
I've got to adjust my mental picture here.
Like, imagine that there are definitely people that are like hiding behind pillars and benches, and you know what I mean? Like, every time that you guys get close to an area where somebody is hiding, you see them kind of sprint off in a different direction. Like, fuck this noise. I don't want anything to do with whatever is going on here.
Yeah, this is basically like Hellboy versus Samael in like that first movie.
Being that that's the case, I'm a little confused as to why we went long range here. Why are we running away?
Well, like, because most of my spells are like, you know, if I'm going to hit more than one thing, it's going to hit everything in the area. So, like, I wanted to get them to where,
would you be
hitting
us as well? Hitting ourselves?
Well, yeah, because we were standing right next to each other and right next to both of our enemies.
I see.
So basically, I would have shot in the ground and hit all of us if I had done that.
I'm not gonna do anything spectacular. I'm just following Chris. I'm just following Falk.
All right. You guys can both make me a perception check, because you have, like, you guys have been up onto the second floor enough that you can see that you can kind of...
We can still see over the crest of the stairs.
Right, because the door is open now.
Okay, and, well, before we do anything, I'm gonna, tell Tom, like, look, I told the boys to stop that train. It's not going anywhere.
You see the mail actually drops down. And as the doors open, he kind of, like, squeezes past the people that are filing out and into the train, and then you guys lose him.
All right, and now we should go and pursue. now that we...
Hold on, that's going to actually bring us
Oh, wait, I had to do a perception?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you guys could, please.
Let's see. 4.
What about you, Tom?
I had run further down the stairs than expected. I just can't see over the crest.
Let me see.
Perception. So your perception skill 4 is really high, I'm pretty sure. Because it's wisdom-based. It's so plus 4, so it's a 24. Or 22, sorry. So you can actually see that the bleeding vampire with the leg wound on the stairwell, her fingertips are starting to move.
Spell's going away.
You would assume, yes. And the lady... The lady who had fallen down after trying to attack you, she looks around and looks super confused and immediately sprints off towards the west and looks for a place to hide. Falk, what would you like to do?
So how hurt is the vampirist that is near us?
I mean, she's got a decent wound on her leg, but other than that, she looks fairly fine. But it's hard to tell with somebody that is rigid.
All right, I point my pistol at her, and I say, look, the train's already stopped. Want to tell us what's going on here?
She, you can, like, see her eyes kind of
basically an intimidation.
Right. Why don't you go ahead and roll an intimidation check?
Okay, yeah. So, 20. Not a natural 20, but, 20 with, mods.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm gonna give you that success, but I'm gonna make you wait until it comes back around for when she can actually move her lips. Okay?
Okay.
All right. But yeah, that was a success. She is going to tell you some information, but all not right. until it's her turn next time. That brings us... Then you see the other lady, the one that was running and got close to the double doors. She also leaps up above the crowd and kind of swings into the train. You guys can actually hear the sound of the familiar sound of a siren off in the distance. You know, the kind of old-timey sort of sounds like a dying cat.
Horse Tron wagon with, like, the guys on top that are spinning the things with the hand crank and stuff.
Right. And I really actually enjoy the dichotomy of the technology in this game so far. Yeah. But... And so then that brings us to Tom. What would you like to do?
I'd like to cast a Zone of Truth on the lady.
Okay.
You realize that I had just won an investigation check, right? And as soon as she could move her lips...
No, it's perfect! The fucking cleric is using Zone of Truth at a totally inopportune time, where it's not necessary at all.
I assume that you just got her to talk to her. I didn't know that meant she's forced to tell the truth.
Well, like, normally the way that it works is if somebody passes a persuasion or an intimidation check, you can assume that what they're going to tell you is probably fairly reliable. Don't get me wrong, it doesn't hurt that you cast it. We're just kind of teasing you.
Yeah.
So a better time would be if he failed his intimidation. But how would I know if he failed his intimidation in story-wise, you know?
Well, if she was not telling...
Because you would just see it on her face sort of thing.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway. So you cast Zone of Truth?
Apparently.
Do you want to move it all?
They're on the train, right? So I guess I'll approach her.
Yeah.
Make sure there's no funny business.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. You see that the door is shut, and the, vampirist with the leg wound, she comes completely to, and she looks at you, and she goes, "The ritual. They're going to complete it."
What ritual?
You have to understand, when we turned ourselves into the Imperium, we didn't realize that we were going to be confined to ghettos. We thought we were opening ourselves to a better life, to not anarchy, and, well, we're not really sure what would happen, and I just don't know. I just don't know, and, that'll be basically it for her initiative. Falk, it is your turn. You can continue your line of questioning, or you can do something else if you'd like.
Where is this ritual?
Jean-Luc carries the instructions with him.
They were in some sort of government housing thing?
Yes.
And they're just kind of, they're like imprisoned there, and then they're trying to break to get out of it?
Correct.
And what did she say? Did the ritual have, did she say what it was supposed to do?
She doesn't know.
They're just doing it. She's just following orders.
You should ask these questions in character.
I'm asking if if I missed anything. Okay.
Well, no, those are perfect questions to ask, but if you did it in character, it would definitely help the audience for sure.
Okay, well, I was just trying to make sure I'm not repeating anything. Okay.
No, you're going.
They won't care. Yeah, just start talking.
What is the ritual supposed to do?
Well, I think it might bring the Allfather back. The first one. The malevolent one. It might be nothing. Might be an old wives' tale.
Do we know where this train is headed? By the station?
Yes. So this train would go downtown.
But assuming that you know, our boys did their job, the train is not going to be going anywhere.
So we're actually going to move down into the initiative to Tom's turn anyway. So you can ask any question you want.
How many are involved in this ritual? Is it just the three of you?
Yes, we're the only ones who have... We're the only ones who have moved into the Pale Touch confinement.
You weren't planning it with anybody else?
No. No one.
I have to decide if I'm going to be British or American.
None of those places exist.
You notice that she's shaking. She's quite scared. She's definitely, you can tell that at this point she knows she's defeated and that there's not a whole lot that can be done. You know, that they're going to jail.
And, how close is that, paddy wagon? Is it like, are they within line of sight now?
You don't think so. They're still pretty far off. You only made the call 3-4 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
But you do notice that the train has not started moving at all. And so, at the very least, they've accomplished something. Because I'll be
completely
honest.
What do you mean, they? Like the vampires?
Our
guys. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like, because the train should have taken off by now. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, people have unloaded. It's been a solid, like, 2 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really take very long for these trains to come in and depart. And so, you're fairly positive that it's not going to go anywhere.
Oh, okay.
And so you can kind of take your time at this point.
So, Tom, do you want to stay with the girl till she gets locked up, or do you want to go check out that train and leave me with her?
So, we only have a 15-foot radius for my zone of truth, but we're pretty confident that she'll answer questions, right? So, I'd actually like to carry her out to the platform with us, like drag her along.
You could do that.
I think that's what I want to do, so I can at least see what's going on outside. But I don't want her to get away from me either.
Okay, so we're going to actually move out of initiative then. Are you all right with that plan then, Falk?
Yeah, like, so,
Are you going to kind of hold her as, like, a human shield type thing, Tom? Or more just, like, behind you?
No, I was thinking just... I was picturing it just kind of on my side, just beside me.
Okay, not like gun to the face, you know, walking towards her, you know what I mean? Okay, gotcha.
Can I handcuff her?
Yeah, of course.
I'll put her in cuffs and drag her by the cuffs.
Gotcha. Okay, so you guys make your way up to the double doors, and you can see inside of the train car, both of the other vampires are sitting on the ground cross-legged. And it looks like they're reading something from a page.
Where are they?
They're on the train. Like, they're on the train car. The doors are shut, and you can see through the windows that they're sitting on the floor, you know. So they're kind of obscured. It would be a tough shot. But you can definitely tell that they are doing something ritual-esque.
Okay.
Are they, are there any train passengers around them? Like, in their general vicinity?
No, it would seem, as since the shooting has started, that people loaded off of the train, but nobody really loaded onto the train. So you would venture to guess that the vampires might be the only beings on the train right now, besides maybe the conductor. But you don't know about if there's staff either, so there might be more than a conductor. Who knows?
So
Fireball is out of the question.
Yeah, that's basically what I was getting at. And then, like, so, I haven't been able to... I'm gonna true strike the, Jean-Luc.
Okay.
From, the position that I'm at. So, am I gonna be at disadvantage, or, just...
With, true strike?
Yeah.
Because true strike should even it out then, right? Because that gives you advantage?
Well, it only gives you advantage, like, you know, because you still have to make the spell attack or whatever, or
they
have to make a spell save.
Yeah, so but disadvantage that on like that.
Okay. So, yeah, all I gotta do is point at him, or whatever. So I point my gun at Jean-Luc and do the true strike, like, looking through the crosshairs.
Gotcha.
And so, do I get any extra insight onto this guy as to, any of his defenses?
Yeah, so you can tell that with all of these guys, none of them have any armor or anything like that. They're just very quick.
Yeah.
And so if you can figure out a way to catch them flat-footed, that's probably going to be your best advantage. But other than that, radiant damage is going to be your best bet.
All right, radiant. And then, it wouldn't tell me if he's, like, somehow stronger than the other two or anything? Or is that, like, beyond the degree of what True Strike does?
That's kind of, I would say that it's beyond the degree of what True Strike does. In my opinion, it's pretty much just kind of like the weaknesses and, like, general demeanor.
All right, and then also it says I gain advantage on my first attack roll against the target, so I'm going to spend another two MP to quicken to where I can use a bonus action as an action, and I am going to use, let's say, how close am I to these two?
You are about, well, it's 50 feet of platform and into the train. The train's like 15 feet wide, so... Like
that's
already
enough
feet.
To know I can't do what I was thinking just there. So so I will do Acid Splash then. And are they within 60 feet of me?
Yeah, I'll call that good.
Okay. And then are they within 5 feet of each other?
Yeah.
All right. So both the creatures need to make a dex saving throw.
All right. One failure, two failure. Let me make some concentration checks after you tell me what damage is.
All right, and then...
Because they both failed.
So, 10 damage.
Okay. You hear the injured woman scream out in pain, but Jean-Luc, however, seems pretty unaffected and continues to chant. So I'm going to actually call that, we're going to go back into initiative after you go then, Tom. And we'll just keep the same initiative to keep it easy, if that's all right.
The one that we rolled earlier?
Yeah, so basically you're going to go and then I'm going to go back to the top of the order with Falk.
What did the guy just do?
So, Falk just cast Acid Splash and did some damage to both of them. You heard the female vampire kind of cry out, and Jean-Luc seems to have kept his concentration because he's still chanting.
So I can affect their concentration. I'm going to try and throw off his concentration with... tremoring ground, does that matter up on the platform? Is that going to work?
You would think that maybe if it's a hard enough tremor... Because the train definitely shakes the platform.
I'm going to do... there's going to be doors and windows slamming, opening and slamming shut, mixed with just the noise of a rumble of thunder, mixed with my booming voice saying, step out of the train.
All right. Marie actually looks up at you and puts her hands in the air and kind of like faces back towards... where you guys are at. She has her back to Jean-Luc, who is continuing to chant. Falk, we are at the top of the order and we are in an initiative. What would you like to do? You are currently about 60 feet away from the train, where there is one vampire, a male, chanting, and another one with her hands up.
All right, and so we got Marie's name. Did we get the name of the girl that with the hurt leg?
Nicolette.
Nicolette, okay.
And they're the Baudelaires.
I guess at first let me, exhaust my movement to get as close as I can to get a better shot.
So 30 feet up?
Yeah, 30 feet up, and then, so now I am 30 feet away from them?
Correct.
So when Marie gave up, has she exited the train?
She has not yet. She literally just stood up, put her hands in the air, and turned around towards you guys.
Get out of the train. Come over here.
She nods at you with her hands in the air, and she kind of like motions her face down at the door handle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she keeps her hands in the air and kind of keeps motioning down at it, as if asking you for permission.
Yeah, come on. I need you to get out of the way.
She very slowly reaches over and throws the door open, and then... kind of starts to creep slowly to the side. She's about, I'd say about 10 feet away from the train at this point. Tom, what would you like to do?
So she's in the doorway?
She moved over, to the west of the doorway, about 10 feet away from the train. Doorway is open. You have a clear shot on Jean-Luc.
I'm taking it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a hit.
So the damage is going to be 17.
Okay, so Tom, I need to know what's your dexterity bonus? It's +3, right?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. Jean-Luc also had a 15. So here is, like, I had been handling it where you just went first because who gives a fuck what order the guy that isn't right there at the time is going. However, the way D&D actually works, if you roll the same initiative, the person with the higher dexterity modifier goes first, and he's not about to attack you, but the final word is about to leave his lips as your bullet collides with his temple. And so you put him down like the dog that he is. However, the entire platform starts to shake violently as that happens. And you see all of the candles that are lit nearby, because it can get dark in some of these buildings. They flicker for a second, and you hear loud booming thunder in the distance.
It's just thaumaturgy.
Fuck.
I yell towards Marie to get down, and I kind of bridge the distance between her and, like, kind of, you know, use my body to kind of cover her in case anything, like, explodes.
Okay. Marie actually, she fucking accepts this and curls up into a ball and, you know, gets in the fetal position and prepares for some sort of a insane impact. Tom, what would you like to do?
I killed the dude, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, you shot him straight through the head.
And Marie is doing what now?
Currently, Falk is covering her, and she's curled up in the fetal position under him as you guys are waiting for something to happen. And you're holding on to Nicolette's handcuffs after you lower your sidearm.
We need to get off this platform.
I second that. Let's get out of here. And I kind of, with Marie, am like kind of doing almost like a duck walk, like holding her and like shielding her, but also like trying to, you know, move away from where all the shit is probably all right. About to explode.
So the platform is just shaking violently. Thunder is crashing, and you can see that the sky is dimming and starting to become a swirling black mass. And you guys are slowly trying to, as quickly as possible, make your way off of the platform. But it's definitely slow going, as your footing is hard to keep. And you're also both trying to make sure that you get these vampiresses off of the platform alive as well. And as you guys get to the stairwell, pieces of the building and stone is falling from the ceiling, and everything is just chaos. And then it stops, and the sky returns to normal.
I all of a sudden, like, stop and kind of stand up and look around, kind of confused, and then look down at Marie, and then over to Tom and Nicolette.
Can we roll perceptions?
Go ahead.
That's a good idea. I got 12.
9.
You guys look around and you can see that that some people are starting to gather around a large boulder that had fallen, and it looks as though somebody is pinned underneath, but other than that, you can kind of see people are just kind of dusting themselves off and trying to deal with gaining their bearings again and trying to figure out what happened. But other than that, you don't really see anything of interest.
We're still on the stairs, right? Above, up top?
You guys are, like, about halfway down the stairs, I would say.
I drag her back up to the zone of truth, and I ask her,
how long does that spell last?
I think that's isn't that a concentration spell to where it would...
Oh, if like, it's concentration, it's definitely not going anymore.
And then I'm just gonna ask him, where is the Allfather supposed to appear?
I don't know. I told you it could just be an old wives' tale. You know from vampiric lore that there was a vampire that was... There was a man that was cursed by one of the gods and was made into the first vampire. And that man is the Allfather to vampires. Like, basically, you know what I mean? Just knowing how deeply entrenched you guys are in your jobs, I think that you guys would definitely be thinking more along the lines of for vampires as opposed to in general.
And then I want to have the other kind of police and FIA members gotten here yet?
Yeah. The building is starting to be swarmed with officers. A lot of them are actually going over to the boulder. It would appear as though a young gentleman was pinned from the waist down under a large boulder, and people are trying to free him without doing further damage and possibly killing him. You guys would be the highest ranking officers on this scene. So if you were going to go and debrief, you would go and do that back at headquarters.
Okay, so I kind of release Marie into the custody of the other cops there while I walk back to the train and do an investigation.
Yeah, he tips his hat to you and grabs her and takes her to a paddy wagon.
I kind of, you know, pat her shoulder as she's, you know, getting kind of transferred over.
Nicolette looks at you, Tom, and she says, You know I'm not a bad person, right?
That hardly matters now.
Okay. And the officer takes her away, and he puts her in a paddy wagon as well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Lost Context D&D. But we'll be returning every other Thursday with another installment of our story. If you enjoyed what you heard, please feel free to follow us or contact us with at The Lost Context on Twitter or at Lost Context PodC on Instagram or on Facebook at facebook.com/Lost Context Podcast. We look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. This show takes a lot of effort on our part to record, to write, to voice, and to produce. So if you do enjoy it, please leave a review on iTunes or follow us on Podbean. Stuff like this really, I mean, it helps out a lot if the listeners share it themselves. And so if you do enjoy this and you want to try and help us out and help us gain more listeners and share our podcast with other people, please, by all means, tweet about us or leave those reviews, leave those likes, leave those follows. They help out immensely. Thank you. Hopefully you'll be back to listen to next time. Thanks.